No way win. Yep, Sean, on this hot July day, it's what, 29 degrees, but it's feeling a little bit in its mid-30s. So, yeah, it's kind of warm. Good sunny day, though. I hope you're enjoying it.
It's hot.
It sure is.
I don't like hot, Doug.
Yeah, don't.
I do this time and time again. I like comfortable.
Okay, so we're doing fine with that.
No, 29 is not comfortable.
Oh, okay.
When is it 29? Well, in the community, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we definitely won't be beside the fire today. That's what I know.
Definitely not. Yeah. 29 degrees.
But if people are out, and I hope that they carry lots of water with them, because you're going to need that if you're out hiking or walking, and or even just spending time. Don't forget your pets. They need some, too.
Just leave them inside.
Well, yeah, that, too. So I was looking at what's happening in July, and here on Aboriginal Voices, we are going to have a very special next 4 weeks. Every show in July is going to have a special event.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
In mid-June 2026, I went and attended a forum for medical people, you know, put on by the Faculty of Medicine, and Dr. Fennell and Dr. Cass coordinated a special day called Indigenous Health Day. And it was a whole day. It was really kind of amazing. And I met some old friends, you know, people that we've known for many, many years and seen, you know, frequently in the early years of Aboriginal Voices. Well, Betty Carr Briant, and she's the elder at Four Directions again. Alan Dockstetter, he's an elder at Queens, Alan Dockstetter. And Laura Miracle, she's one of she's the keynote address. Yeah, and she's talking about her work in healthcare now. So, you know, we're going to learn about that. And Chris Cornish, I don't know if you remember Chris. He coordinated a lot of activities and events for the policy studies at Queen's, and now he's coordinating and working with the folks at the Faculty of Medicine. Who else? Oh, your cousin.
My cousin.
Yeah, Curtis Miracle.
Oh, yeah.
When I asked him if he would... I asked him if we could use his voice and his story on Aboriginal Voices, and he said, "Oh yeah, you know, yeah. Who do you do that with?" And I mentioned your name, and he laughed and he said, "Oh, he's my cousin."
Yeah, that's Curtis.
Mm-hmm. So he did it. He did a nice talk, you know, really from the heart. So it was good.
You have to name drop.
Oh, there you go. I dropped Sean's story, and I'm okay.
Oh, all right.
Anyway, so that was good. And then I met some new people, and, you know, students who were studying in medicine at Queen's, and I met a couple of the faculty people.
Like they were people who were going to become doctors, or they were doctors?
Two of them are doing a master's in... nurse practitioners, and they're doing their master's in that program. So, okay. Now, here's something for you. Today, we're going to have the opening of the event for the day, and Laura's talk, the keynote talk. They're both long, and they'll take up our second hour today. Next week, we'll go into talking with the...
Long-winded, are they?
Hey, they're storytellers. And then next week we'll go into start with some of the plenary activities. So, you know, the interesting things. Talking about neonatal clinics and you know, looking after the moms and the babies at the beginning, and then later on, 3 weeks from now, we'll be talking about. you know, adolescence, navigating adolescence, but from a doctor and a nurse's point of view, and all the medical teams, you know, not just doctors and nurses. And then getting into later in the month, adulthood and chronic disease. Oh my goodness, that was the one I wanted to go to. But then they got into talking about elderhood, not, you know, about people who were old, like me. And I thought, wait a minute, is that why you invited me here?
Mm-hmm. They were looking for the oldest guy in Kingston, and we happened upon you.
That's it. So that's what we have for the whole month. We're going to hear in our second hour. But for tonight's show, we're going to start the whole thing in the, around 6:30 tonight, and so we'll go with it like that and run right through till almost 7 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
Good. Now, I was just looking too at other events that are happening, and Trent University mid June, and then near the end of June, put out some. I'm not quite sure what you would call them, but they put out a few events that they have been working on throughout the last few years. And one of the events that I came upon was of interest to both of us, and it's the Indigenous Perspectives on Great Lakes Research and Monitoring. Uh-huh. And you live very close to the Great Lake, Ontario. And I was just thinking about going back to the mid-1990s, and I don't remember Henry Lickers.
I do remember a Henry Lickers.
Yeah, he was working as a biologist and with university students out of Akwesasne. And he had a project called the Eagle Project, and that was all the Great Lakes. And so he was doing a lot of this and, looking at the Great Lakes research and doing some monitoring back in the mid-1990s. And I'm sure there were more going on before that. But Trent University now has this group called the IGLN, which is the Indigenous Great Lakes Network. Have you heard anything about that?
Indigenous Great Lakes Network?
Yes.
No.
Okay. So, well, you're not the only one who hasn't heard about this. So I thought, well, maybe we could find out what they do. And so later this week, I'm going to be going and chatting with the people who put together this network. And basically what they're talking about is they've done the literature review, which is the academic part of it. They've been doing the informal conversations, kind of like what you and I do. We go chat and have time. But they've done that part, and now they're going online, and they're doing a survey online to find out what people are doing. So I thought online workshop series would be exciting to get involved in, especially for us, because then we would learn a little bit, and we'd have people who might tell us on our show what's happening around the Great Lakes. And I also thought, hey, summertime, people are going out camping, visiting cottages, or going from community to community for powwows and other family gatherings and meeting friends and neighbors in different locations around the Great Lakes. So maybe this is a time to get stories about the Great Lakes.
Yes.
So what story do you have about the Great Lakes?
I don't really have any.
Oh, I'll bet if we sit down and talk about it, you do. But anyway.
One time I went to see one of them Great Lakes. Let me pull up my map here to see which one it was. Yeah, I don't know.
No. That's okay. But when you go out, you do look, or you do think about what's there, the plants that are there, maybe the animals.
Wait a minute. I guess I was on Huron, I guess.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Also, I was over here, too.
What's this one?
Michigan. Lake Michigan.
You went to Lake Michigan?
No, it was through work. We had to go to... Wait a minute. Maybe it wasn't Lake Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. You went to... near Chicago, right?
Well, my map is... is throwing me off.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Where did you go?
Wherever it was, we were within spitting distance of Detroit.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it was Lake St.
Clair. Lake St. Clair, yeah.
But it was the river, so...
Right. Well, St. Clair River. That's fine. That's all part of the Great Lakes Network.
Yeah, it's interesting because it is. It is... I don't think we're quite to Windsor, but... I can't think of the place that we're at. But, anyways, it was like, oh, gosh, it's the U.S. right there. Interesting.
Yeah.
Turns out it was Michigan.
So you've been on both sides of Lake Ontario, both sides of the St. Clair River and the Lake St. Clair. I think you've been up towards Georgian Bay, haven't you?
Probably.
That's Lake Huron. And so, did you get up to Sault Ste. Marie or Thunder Bay or any of those places?
I don't like to talk about that, Doug.
Well, because that's, you know, up Lake Superior.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I was up in that area too, Thunder Bay. It was, I think we had to stop in Thunder Bay and then fly to Sioux Lookout.
Oh, right, yeah. And you were in the area where the rivers all flow towards Lake Superior.
Well, I think it was we just got off the plane and then we had to get on another one.
Hmm. That's good.
So we weren't there for very long.
Yeah.
Thankfully. And then we were in Sioux Lookout, which felt like possibly too long. It was starting to snow when we were leaving.
Oh.
Sioux Lookout. And we were thinking, well, maybe we could just drive to the next airplanes. But no, they took off. They were fine with the snow. So that was fun.
Okay. Well, we'll find out about later this month, find out more about the Indigenous Great Lakes Network, and we'll find out what they're interested in. And it's from an environmental point of view. So we've got Kingston people who are environmentally interested. They have people north of you and north of me in sort of the central part of Hastings County and Lennox and Addington County and Frontenac County. So there are people who are interested in all of this, so they want to know more about it. So we're going to find out. All right. I have some new music for you, Sean.
Sounds good.
All right. Okay. Chat with you in a bit.
All right. Thank you.
CFRC is stoked to partner with KPP Concerts on an awesome summer lineup. On June 27th, be sure to catch Long Range Hustle and Psychobilly Legends Reverend Horton Heat on June 28th. On July 3rd, check out alt-country legend Fred Eaglesmith, followed by folk punk legend Billy Bragg on July 5th. Emo is alive and well on July 8th with Arms Length and Mo Kenny come to town on July 9th. Hip-hop pioneer Souls of Mischief are here on July 21st, and we'll get some hardcore action with Spaced on July 23rd. Almond Monica brings Arabic Jazz to Kingston on August 7th, and finally, August 9th, you can see Lucero Ben Nichols. For tickets and full information on these and other awesome shows, visit kppconcerts.com.
My name is Stephen Brooks. I'm an emergency doctor and researcher in the Faculty of Health Sciences at Queen's University. Out-of-hospital cardiac arrest affects about 35,000 people across Canada every year. The sooner treatment begins, the higher the probability of recovery. Neighbors Saving Neighbors is a pilot program to improve survival for people who experience sudden cardiac arrest in Frontenac County. Let us teach you how to do CPR, use an AED, and become a lifesaver. Consider becoming a Neighbors Saving Neighbors volunteer.
Apply today at frontenacparamedics.ca.
30 years and they're still letting us near microphones.
It's true. We've got the music, the stories, and absolutely no filter.
From deep cuts to guilty pleasures, if it made noise in the last three decades,
we're probably playing it and maybe laughing about it.
This is 30 Years of Nonsense.
Hosted by Terry and Sherry Doherty.
Only on CFRC 101.9 FM, Kingston's campus and community radio.
Turn it up.
And embrace the nonsense.
Your library, your story. At the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, books are just the beginning. A library card starts a lifelong adventure, connecting you to everything you need to inspire learning, creativity, and fun. With 16 locations and plenty of online services, using your library has never been easier. Study in a quiet space, meet friends and learn new things, or explore the world through a magazine or a museum pass. Become a part of our story. Visit your local library branch or find us online at kfpl.ca.
Thank you. start in a really good way with two wonderful Queens community members who will start us off with some drumming. So I would like to introduce Ness Young and Lisa Dockstatter.
Good morning, everybody. I used to be part of the Queens community until about 4 weeks ago, and I'm no longer working at Queens, but I still said I would come and open with drumming this morning. So thank you to all my fans out there this morning. It's just really good to see people that I've missed seeing and chatting with people this morning. So, yeah, so I'm Lisa Dockstatter. I'm Oneida and Mohawk, and I live in Kingston. And I'm moving to Studio Lookout, and I'll be going into some of those isolated northern communities. So I'm looking for contacts, so I know I'm going to need them once I get up there. So if anybody, is working in those communities, that would be nice to reach out and connect with me.
And my name is Ness. I am a Wapatawakan Six Nations of Red River Territory, and I'm a Master Public Health student, and I'll be graduating next year.
So the song that Ness and I are going to sing today is the Water Song. And it's a pretty well-known song in the community. We sing it quite often. We have a little drum group at Fort Vega. We sing it there quite a bit. We thought about this song because water is about healing. When we sing to the water, we can heal about the water at a cellular level. And so as human beings, we're made up of water. So when we drum, we're drumming for each other, and we're drumming for healing of ourselves. So swarming is where, if you know the song, you can sing along with us. As we're singing, I just want you to picture in your mind, we all have a favorite place that always involves water. So in your mind, I'd like you to picture that place that you like to be, and see yourself singing through that water and healing that water that you enjoy being with. And so we start out slow. We do four rounds. We start out slow. That represents the water as it and how it flows. And as we go on, we get faster. And then we slow down for the last one.
Wishita do ya, do ya, hey. Wishita do ya, do ya, do ya. Wishita do ya, do ya. privilege and pleasure welcoming our elder today. So Elder Benny Carbrandt is a fellow member of the Mohawk Tsleil-Waututh from the Wolf Clan. And for those of us that are familiar with the Queen's campus, you've probably seen Elder Benny's face around because she has been our elder in residence and guiding students at the Indigenous Student Center for a long time, and I have had the privilege of definitely benefiting from her teachings. And it's just such an honor and privilege to have her to open us up today. And so, Betty, please come on out.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. It's an honor to be able to lift up those words on our behalf, on behalf of this gathering, and to remind ourselves how important it is to acknowledge everything in creation. And not only that, to bring our minds together to do this good work that we're going to do today, and all the sharing that's going to happen, and to really remember to keep an open mind and to keep... keep a respectful, open mind, because when we can, all of those minds coming together can inform us in so many ways. So I'm going to do my best to lift up our greetings and Thanksgiving in Mohawk. I am a Mohawk learner, so I'm going to just do the best I can. I've been taught we lift up those words and use our language to the best of our ability. So Ohondokariwa Jakum. Kanjokwa se wada hongios got nigari wesa. Negati Danchito and Alarado Nis and Guaidiso, Rosa Anya, Aguegon, Jiwan Jade. Aguega Unskiji and Dewatwetnuni, Nekunguanaguran, Dano, Dietinu Arado, Nekungue Suhan. Atom, you don't have to Nekunguanaguran. So when I finish with that, if you could start us off by please try to acknowledge, so you could say yo or to or huh, whatever feels right for you. Laura here is going to help me, so she'll do it at the end when I get to the place where you do that. Kanjokwa se wada hongios. Sorry. Aguega anskaji ande wapet nuni ne unguan guran dano de yetinu arado ne yetini stilaha yetini staha o honja atoni duhak ne unguan guran. Aguega anskaji ande wapet nuni ne unguan guran dano de yetinu arado ne gatna gurunya atoni duhak ne unguan guran. Aguega anskaji ande wapet nuni ne unguan guran dano de yetinu arado ne Bunchu Suhan, Atonu Dunhap Ne Unguanagura. Aguega Unskiji and Dewatmanuni Ne Unguanaguran, Dano De Yetinu Arado Ne Odehra Suhan, Atonu Dunhap Ne Unguanagura. Aguega Unskiji and Dewatmanuni Ne Unguanaguran, Dano De Yetinu Arado Ne Ohonde Suhan, Atonu Dunhap Ne Unguanagura. Aguega Unskiji and Dewatmanuni Ne Unguanaguran, Dano De Yetinu Arado Ne Onukwasuhan, Atoni Duhakne Unguanaguran. Aguega Unskaji and Dewatwenuni, Ne Unguanaguran, Dano de Yetinu Arado, Ne Ojinumasuhan, Atoni Duhakne Unguanaguran. Aguega Unskaji and Dewatwenuni, Ne Unguanaguran, Dano de Yetinu Arado, Ne Johekwan, Atoni Duhakne Unguanaguran. Aguega Unskaji and Dewatwenuni, Ne Unguanaguran, Dano de Yetinu Arado, Ne Kahiksuhan, Atoni Duhakne Unguanaguran. Aguega Unskaji and Dewatwenuni, Ne Unguanaguran, Dano de Yetinu Arado, Ne Gandirio, Atoni Duhakne Unguanaguran. Aguega Unskaji and Dewatwenuni, Ne Unguanaguran, Dano de Yetinu Arado, Ne Oji Du Oguan, Atoni Duhakne Unguanaguran. Aguega Unskaji and Dewatwenuni, Ne Unguanaguran, Dano de Yetinu Arado, Ne Garonda Suan, Dano Ugurdi Suan, Atoni Dunhapne Unguanaguran. Aguega Unskaji and Dewatwenuni, Ne Unguanaguran, Dano de Yetinu Arado, Ne Gayeri Nicaragua, Atoni Dunhapne Unguanaguran. Agwega Amskaji and Dewatwit Nuni and Ungwanagura Dano de Yetinoirado ne Yeti Sutugum Retiweras Atum Yuduhakni Ungwanagura. Agwega Amskaji and Dewatwit Nuni ne Ungwanagura Dano de Yetinoirado ne De Chita Wanoirado ne Etchigewa Gia Junkanaka Grakwa Atum Yuduhakni Ungwanagura. Agwega Anskaji and Dewatwe Nuni ne Ungwanagura, Dano de Yeti Norado ne Yeti Sutta, Asantanaka, Karakwa, Atuni Duhok ne Ungwanagura. Agwega Anskaji and Dewatwe Nuni ne Ungwanagura, Dano de Yeti Norado ne Ji Yojistoka Runya, Atuni Duhok ne Ungwanagura. Agwega Anskaji and Dewatwe Nuni ne Ungwanagura, Dano de Chitawanawarado ne Sungwai Disum, Atuni Duhok ne Ungwanagura. On the Ore Wakateri Wakwani Toka Otano Sungini Guharhan Easy Aiza Sundaram took me one again. So I've done my best to lift up our roots and our greetings to everything in creation, starting off with the people and working our way up the chain of creation to Sugwai Diesel, our creator, who created everything we need to live a good life. And so I just want to welcome to you to Indigenous Health Day, where we're gonna have some understanding, respectful exchange and transforming care. When we can all come together and bring our minds together, it's an opportunity to share so much knowledge. So it's an honor and privilege to be here to be able to lift up those words on behalf of this gathering. Yama Goa.
Thank you to everyone for being here today. My name is Eleftherio Soler. My friends call me Terry. I'm the Director of Lifelong Learning and Innovation here at Queen's Health Sciences. I have to say, I'm overjoyed that you're all here. And thank you so much for choosing to learn with us. So I'd like to begin with a land acknowledgement. We gather today here in what is now called Kingston, the land of the Anishinaabe and the Haudenosaunee peoples, who are guardians of this land since time immemorial. I first came here, I settled here in 2015. I am the child of refugees, so I am aware of the privilege that I've had to be able to make a life here. I know that privilege is not universally shared by a great many people. And I myself today am going to be focused on doing what I can to learn today. Today is about truth and reconciliation and advancing kindness and justice for all peoples. So today, on the right foot, I think we've taken a wonderful first step. I think we should be mindful about what this means for us to be marching and working in harmony with the people who have been guardians of this land since time immemorial. We should be thinking about what we can do to advance truth and reconciliation in our practice, in our teaching, in our learning, in our ways of being. It's a joy to be a part of this today. I'd like to thank a couple of our sponsors that have made today possible. So I'd like to thank the Joseph E. Zabar Visiting Professorship in Medicine and Surgery, as well as program ally sponsor TD Banking, which is outside. So if folks are of mind to do so, I think it might be nice to go and see some of our exhibitors outside. I see that we have some wonderful art, and we have some wonderful information in terms of healthcare provision outside from our friends at SEMO, as well as from TD Bank as well. So my gratitude to them for helping to make today possible. A special thank you to this program's planning committee. So Elder Betty, Dr. Cass, Dr. Funnel, Dr. John, Dr. Pilon. I would like to thank myself profusely. Dr. Ashley Waddington and folks. Chris is at the back. Chris, wave your hand. Folks, that is Chris Barnett. Along with the staff of the Office of Professional Development and Education Scholarship, helped make today possible, working with our planning committee and led by our brave co-chairs, Dr. Sarah Fana and Dr. Jamaica Cass. My gratitude to everyone. Some planning committee disclosures. Folks, there are a lot of employees from Queen's University, and there are folks that are doing a variety of medical education research during the course of the day. We are going to mitigate any potential bias from these folks because all programs begin with a needs assessment. All planning committees are made up of members of our healthcare community. There are no industry personnel on the planning committees. Presenters are required to disclose any and all relationships with industry, and we ask for your feedback. There'll be a post-program survey coming along where you can let us know if you thought that there was any biased information that was presented, as well as your suggestions for a next go-around of this program. I can say that fairly confidently because I am looking at a sold-out room. We are doing this again. I would also like to say that for folks that are wishing to join any of our planning committees, a simple email to me is all that I will need in order to bug you relentlessly to join up with our given programming. I am excitable to the point of sometimes being uncomfortable with my excitement. This program is an initiative in continuing professional development. We all have the gift of being able to read the words that are magically on there, but what I want to tell folks is use this thoughtfully. The opinions that are expressed are meant to be used within your scope of practice and to be used thoughtfully in how you provide culturally sensitive and culturally humble care. So, some useful information. Some of this is useful for me, some of this is useful for you. So, I'll pass it back to our brave co-chairs.
Thank you all for being here. I'm Sarah Funnell. I'm the Associate Dean for Indigenous Health for the Faculty of Health Sciences, and I'm a family physician at Queen's Family Health Team. I am a First Nations woman. I'm a band member at Kitigan ZB First Nation, and I grew up in Alderville First Nation, and I'm so happy that we have some, I called you Aldervillians, but that sounds bad. People from Alderville, and people from all over. I'll let Jamaica introduce herself, and then we'll just open with a few introductory words, and we'll get right into the program. Sego, Sego Gwego, Jamaica, Yungas, Deno, Kas, Maxwazare. Hi, folks. My name is Jamaica Kass. I am also a family doctor. I have the privilege and pleasure of doing clinical practice in my home community of Gandaigi, also known as Tanganyika. So I'm a rural family doc. I'm the director of Indigenous Health within the Department of Family Med, so I get to teach all of the family medicine and sometimes emergency medicine residents all of their cultural safety and Indigenous health and anti-racism skills training. And Sarah and I both wear tons of hats lots of other places, but also have the privilege of working with this phenomenal human. We're so, so happy to see so many people here, and this has been on our minds for a year and a half, maybe. We've been working on this, and I can't say enough to Terry and Chris and their team for how much work they have done to bring this all together and really make it super easy for Sarah and I to come up here and take the glory. So I have to say, like, it's just so wonderful that the team is so great. Maybe I'll just say one thing and then I'll pass it back to Sarah, and that is that we were really hoping we could get a group of interprofessional healthcare folks together to learn about some safe practices and some indigenous ways of doing throughout the life cycle. I am so pleasantly surprised to see so many of my Indigenous relatives here. We're so happy and wonderful to have you. Like, what a wonderful surprise. And I'm also so happy and encouraged to see so many of my community colleagues here. Like, it's so great to, like, I lift my hands to you. It's so great to see that you've come here to learn, and truly, like, you're so welcome, and we're so happy to have you in this space. So you're right. It was about a year and a half ago where Terry and Ashley said to us, hey, we have this idea and we think we can get people from all over the region to come for an Indigenous Health CPD Day. And I remember thinking, like, really? Okay. So we pulled together a planning committee, and they were acknowledged by Terry. Thanks for doing that, Terry. And we decided to pull this committee together because we needed a group of lots of minds to help us decide how to plan this day. What we landed on is that we would take the life cycle approach, and so that we would sprinkle a little bit of cultural approaches to various stages of the life course for all of us to learn about. We recognize we're only scratching the surface of these topics,
And for some reason, we're very Haudenosaunee heavy on our knowledge shares, but we sprinkled in an Aldervillian in there, a person from Alderville. So I hope that you will enjoy the day and do a great deal of learning, as I know that Jamaica and I will as well. Miigwech and Niuen for being here. And I'm going to hand it to Jamaica to introduce Laura Miracle, who will be setting the tone of the day. Over to you, Jamaica.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Yeah. So I'll maybe add one thing, which is that when you see the folks who are going to speak to you today, and when you look at the program, we have a mix of Indigenous and non-Indigenous interprofessionals here to speak to you. And that was done really intentionally, because care doesn't happen in a vacuum, right? Like, you know, we have colleagues from, you know, the Gondwana Gay Midwives here, and some folks who do diabetes education and whatnot, but our patients receive care everywhere. And I think there are a lot of folks who are non-Indigenous who offer really wonderful culturally safe care. And so I think there's just, you know, so much to learn from both groups of folks. And so I just wanted to sort of flag that before I talk about Laura Miracle. So I have had the pleasure of knowing Laura for like a really long time, because
since your undergrad.
There you go. So way back when I was a student at Queen's, I'm not going to say how many years ago, Laura was the face at the Indigenous Student Center, and so we did tons of amazing things together, like including like a lot of fiber making, like tons, but many other things. And for anybody involved in the Indigenous community in Kingston, you have absolutely seen Laura's face, probably like leading a drumming and singing group somewhere. She's so involved and just embedded in community, and we're just so lucky to have her. Okay, now I'll read her formal introduction. So Laura's a Haudenosaunee woman from Gondege or Tyendinega Mohawk Territory, and she works as an Indigenous consultant and educational advisor. She previously was at Queen's, as I said, supporting Indigenous student success, which she absolutely did phenomenally, and did some cultural safety training and other Indigenous education initiatives. Widely recognized for her work as a family circle facilitator and a facilitator of the Kerios Blanket Exercise, and for her commitment to advancing understanding, reconciliation, and respectful relationships between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples. Through her consulting, teaching, and community engagement, she continues to support Indigenous education, alternative dispute resolution, cultural awareness, and relationship building across organizations and communities. And I can truly say, having known her for so long, she is very much a person who lives her values and advances reconciliation in how she models how she works with community. We are having her here as our first speaker to set the tone. We're not calling Latino, but we're just so happy and privileged to have her here to speak to us. And Laura, it's such a pleasure to welcome you. Come on down.
Okay. I'm not going to step on the podium. Can you guys hear me okay? Yeah? You can hear me back there? Oh, good. Yes? Oh, I got thumbs up from the back. Oh, this is a heavy load to carry. All right, I'm not going to sit up there. If any of those of you who know me, or as Jan Hill fondly calls me, I'm a fartnamit. I can't sit still. I still haven't figured out what fartnamit means yet. So, yeah. Have you heard that? Who knows what it means? Yeah, you have?
Yes.
Am I a fartnamit, Auntie?
Yes.
I am, okay. Grandma Kate says I am. Y'all call her Grandma Kate, but she's my auntie. So, all right, so a little bit about me. I'm going to be around. I also, Chris, did you do what I asked you to do? Good man. Okay. So there are random cue cards that are on the table, too. Different colors. One will be brown, one will be... and so when I ask you to call that out, I'll call the color, and if you have that color, I'll ask you just to, we'll just say those words, because I like not to have everybody with eyes on me. I'm probably going to be driving you crazy, because you're trying to take pictures and film and all that, and I'm not staying still, because I'm a fireman.
Now, I don't say that so you all can understand who I am. I say that because that's one of my responsibilities to creation, is to stand in my identity and to acknowledge who I'm responsible to. So my Haudenosaunee name is Dearunya Gyandaras. I think it roughly translates to "she recognizes two skies." They say that I walk with one foot in the sky world and one foot in the earth world, and that's a seer gave me that name, and that's the clan mother sat all day and we tried different names and they called language speakers and until the hair came on there, stood up on their arms, then they knew they had the right name for me. That was quite the process because it wasn't only my name, but it was mine and my girls. I'm responsible to the Bear Clan, that's who I sit with. I live in Gandege. I've been there for about over 35 years. I was born and raised in Toronto. Right in old Cabbage Town, right downtown, a really historical part of Toronto. I loved it. Born and raised there. Left when I was 22. My parents decided to move back home. And I decided to follow. So, who am I? I was one. How can I? No. Okay, that's a different song. So, I told you a little bit about the land that I'm connected to. When I was doing work here with land acknowledgement, there was one point in time where we started to do land acknowledgement workshops. And what I learned is a lot of the stuff that I did, that we did together here at the university, it helped me reflect and to do a deeper dive of, you know, how am I connected? Who am I? And I realized that I was born and raised in the One Dish with One Spoon. I've never left there. I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. I never even spent the time to think about it. And it's really good to hear Terry, to hear you talk about how you connected to it. Because a lot of people just do land acknowledgements, but it's more like a checky box. And so I love that how you made it a personal connection. And to me, then that comes from the heart, that you've actually stood in who you are, and to see how am I connected to this land? How am I connected to this land? How did I get here? Who are my people? So, how did I get to Toronto? Well, I've really been thinking about that a lot. My biological father isn't Mohawk. My biological father is Anishinaabe, unfortunately, I never got to meet him. He was involved, like, systems. The systems got him, you know, the addictions and all the addictions that come with that. And lived on the streets, and he died on the streets, and he wasn't somebody I ever met. My mother is French-Canadian. She's non-native. I really don't know what that connection either part of my life is either. All I know is I've been born and raised to be Mohawk. My family, you know, my Mohawk father adopted me. That's who raised me. The one thing he did do right, he was also succumbed to the systems of addictions and mental health and all that stuff. So he did connect us to a family. From the age of 3, I've been coming back and forth the time to Nega, knowing who my family was, raised by a Mohawk grandma, Cora Elizabeth. We call her Cora Knots. But I always knew, you know, I always knew that I had a home and a place. And then when I came here, 22, I joined a troop called the Peacemakers Drum. And so we traveled all over North America. And that's why I learned Iroquois singing and social songs. That's also where I fell in love with a very handsome Mohawk man. And that's how I learned a piece of my identity. I remember hearing the big drum for the first time, that blood memory. I would cry uncontrollably. I couldn't figure it out. Whenever I was like, what is this? What is wrong with me? Sister, get it together. What? And that's when I found out, you know, how that blood memory. I'm sure all of you, you know, we all carry culture in this room. You all have a culture. You're all connected to some, to land and to culture. But it's like, have you ever felt a time where just something just overcomes you and you can't figure out where that's from? To me, that was the big drum, right? And I did really talk. I didn't talk about a lot about. I didn't talk about burnout. I didn't talk. I didn't know what it was like, you know. I didn't acknowledge that Haudenosaunee side. I didn't acknowledge the French Canadian side. I can't change that, but I wanted to at one point. I was ashamed of that ancestry, and especially the more I learned about the history, right? There was one point in my life when one of my aunties, my French Canadian auntie, she looked back in the genealogy. Oh, do you know the story? She's laughing already. So my mom's side was able to trace her genealogy right back to France. And I said to my auntie, my mom's French uncle, first French uncle that landed here, got killed by a Mohawk in Mohawk Valley. I was like, oh, that's hilarious. and then here I am, right? So yeah, that's a little bit about, you know, my personal journey. And, you know, I found also that there are different things that have happened in my life that have put me in systems. And I found that I was always resisting the system or feeling like I needed to fit in, right? I needed to be a square and never realizing that, hey, I'm a circle and it's okay, right? It's okay to be a circle. It's okay to be different. I don't need to aspire to be like somebody else. You know, there we all have our gifts and our abilities. It was about learning, you know, how to draw strength from and see the beauty and strength in each and every one of you. That was really hard because, you know, growing up in the city and then also not knowing my identity or not knowing where I feel like I fit or feeling like I don't fit in, you know, not feeling like I'm good enough. And I realized that that came from systems. Right? I was carrying the load of systems, right? So what systems do I got in here? My dad used to call this a rest lunch bag. I didn't get that at first either. It takes me a while to get things. But like, you know, the health system. I wasn't there, right? What else do I got here? Ah, it didn't start with you. How inherited family trauma shapes who you are and how to end the cycle. The education system, the justice system, the health system. Learn that it was learning how to navigate through systems and then some of my, and learning to sit with some of my biggest teachers who would always direct me to look within, right? That you've got to look within first before, if you want to learn how I'm navigating the system, then I've got to learn how I navigate me. Because I was always trying to say, oh, I really like how Missy navigates her life. I want to navigate my life like her. I want to be just like Missy. Well, Missy, are you a fart in a minute? Right? I can't. I'm always going to be me. And I'm going to be okay with that. Right? And that was the longest walk for me. You guys know that song, The Longest Walk? I'll do one word. Nah. Maybe I won't. Way high, ho, way, hey, hey, way. There you go. The longest walk. So that's the tour. This is our longest walk. to our hearts, right? The longest walk is from figuring out who we are, right? And learning about ourselves. That is my longest walk, and I'll be doing it till I hit the sky rope. And then I'll still be learning from there. My father-in-law did a paga, huh? I remember when I first landed in the territory, when I first moved back, and he took me